Okay, let's get started. Good evening, afternoon, everybody. Tomorrow's daf, Bezrat Hashem, is Yevamos daf Kuf Yud Gimel. We left off on the bottom of Kuf Yud Beis, Amud Beis, right after the Mishnah on Kuf Yud Beis, Amud Beis. We're going to be starting with the Gemara. Today's shir is sponsored by Dr. David Lander, in honor of his wife and children. It is also sponsored by, let me just pull it up here, by Mindy and Henry Orlinsky, Lezecher Nishmas Chaim Abba Ben Yosef, Alav Shalom, Mindy's father, and Shabbashav and Aliyah, and is also sponsored by Lezechus Rufo Shalema for Uriel Ben Chaya Esther, a baby who's in the NICU. We should have Rufo Shalema, Besoch Shar Chole Yisrael. We thank all of the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. What we're going to discuss today is the following. First, we're going to talk about when and from whom were they misakin marriage midrabanan, and for whom not. Meaning, why is it that a cheresh has the din of a marriage midrabanan, but not a shota, for example? Then the Gemara is going to explain three differences between the marriages of a chareshes, which is a marriage midrabanan, and of a ketana, which is also a marriage midrabanan. How they differ in terms of the ability to do miyun, they differ in terms of the ability of the woman to eat truma if the man is a Kohen, and they differ in terms of whether there is a ksuba associated with that marriage. The Gemara is going to explore all three of those differences. Then the Gemara is going to talk about whether the marriage of a cheresh is purely, definitively derabanan, or that it's derabanan because it's a safek d'oraisa, that it might actually be a marriage d'oraisa, but it's only a safek, so mi derabanan we're choshesh for that safek. So that's going to be a discussion in the Gemara. Then on the bottom of Amud Aleph, we're going to talk about how to understand the limitations of a cheresh. A cheresh is a person who has certain limitations. So do we understand that he has he's consistently, steadily weak, he has weak das, or that he has fluctuations in his das, that sometimes he's a bar das, other times he's not a bar das, and we're going to discuss a nafkamina between those two possibilities of how to understand the disability that the person has when he is a cheresh. Then the Gemara is going to talk about why a shota woman can't get divorced, whether that's a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabbanan, that a woman who is a shota is unable to receive a get. And then the Gemara in the middle of Amdez is going to explain the conversation that happened in the Mishnah to distinguish between a cheresh and a chareshes as far as divorce is concerned. Because you'll recall in the Mishnah we said that while a cheresh can't get divorced, a chareshes can get divorced. And there was some sort of conversation between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yochanan Nuri about that rule. So we're going to discuss that as well. So let's begin with the Gemara on the bottom of Daf Kuf Yud Beis on Beis. So the Mishnah had said that if you have a regular guy that marries a chareshes, or you have a cheresh that marries a pikachas, a regular woman, so in either case the marriage is only midrabanan, and the husband dies, so the woman's going to require a chalitza. So you see that a cheresh or a chareshes do have some sort of nisuin midrabanan, even though they're not bnei das, even though they're not people who have any das, but they still need some sort of heter, some sort of chalitza, because there is a marriage present. So says the Gemara, Amram bercham maishna cheresh v'chareshes tekinu l'rabanan nisuin, umaishna d'shota shota v'shota t'lo tekinu l'rabanan nisuin. Why is it that Rabbanan instituted that a cheresh and chareshes are able to get married, and they never instituted that a shota or shota is able to get married? Meaning, once midaraisa, said neither of them are able to get married, and the rabbanan are going to be masaking a marriage, why do they only choose cheresh and not shota? Normally, we always assume cheresh and v'katan are just always thrown in together; they're always lumped in together. So, why is it that a cheresh has marriage midrabanan but not a shota? Titanya shota v'katan shnasu nashum meisun shem p'turus minachlitz min ayibum. Halach is that if you have a shota and or a katan that gets married, the wife, and then they die, the wives don't need chalitzur yibum because it's not a marriage bechlal, not even midrabanan. Only a cheresh among that group of cheresh and katan, only a cheresh has marriage midrabanan. So the question is, why? Why did the rabbanan institute marriage midrabanan for a cheresh? The answer is the Gemara. Cheresh v'chareshes tekaima takanta drabanan. They have the ability to be mekayim the takanta drabanan, meaning they're able to live bishalom. They're able to live a married life, even if they're both chareshim. They'll figure it out. So, and especially if one of them is a pikeach or a pikachas, and only one in party is a cheresh, so takinu drabanan, the rabbanan institute nisuin, because it's possible that they can actually live as a married couple. But shota v'shota. But if you have a deranged deranged person, either they're both deranged or one of them is deranged, the lo kaima takanta drabanan, where they're not even able to be mekayim the takanas chachamim, the shotim are unable to live b'shalom with other people, dein adam darim nachash b'kvifa achas, because you can't ask someone to live with a snake in the same room, meaning a shot is someone who can go off, fly off the handle at any moment. So lo takin rabbanan nisuin, the rabbanan were never mesakein a nisuin. Tosos points out that if they already got married, the rabbanan were mesakein that you can't divorce them, because she's not going to be able to be shomer as atzma. She's not going to be able to protect herself if she got married before she became a shota. But they were never mesakein that they can affect marriage as a shota and a shota. So now the Gemara explains why the rabbanan were not mesakein nisuin for a katan. Remember, it's cheresh shota v'katan. They're always lumped in together. So we explained why cheresh yes and shota no. But why not for a katan? Umayshna katan delo tekin rabbanan nisuin v'cheresh tekin rabbanan nisuin. Why do we distinguish between a katan and a cheresh? So cheresh delo asi lechlal nisuin tekin rabbanan nisuin. It was necessary to be mesakein nisuin for a cheresh because a cheresh will never change. He's always going to be a cheresh, so he's never going to get to a point where he'll just be able to get married for real. So the rabbanan had to be mesakein that he's able to get married at least on the rabbanan level. But katan da'asi lechlal nisuin lo tekin rabbanan nisuin. But a katan who will be able to get married for real at some point, the rabbanan didn't need to be mesakein a nisuin. In the Tshuva Sarashba, the Beis Yosef in Eben Ezra quotes the Tshuva Sarashba in Chelek Aleph Simen Elef Reish Gimel. He says that even a cheresh, while he's still a katan, the rabbanan were not mesakein nisuin, even though he's never going to become bechlal nisuin when he gets older, because it's a low plug that just like the rabbanan were not mesakein nisuin for any other katan, they were not mesakein nisuin for a cheresh katan either. Meaning, one might have thought that Jewish Rosh was pointing out that if the reason we're not mesakein nisuin for a katan is because one day he'll be able to get married anyway on his own, so why should we be mesakein a second rate nisuin if he's going to be able to do real nisuin one day? So you would think, well, a cheresh katan is never going to be able to do real nisuin, so we should be mesakein nisuin for him as well. So the Rashba says, no, it's a low plug on katan, that whenever a person is a katan, the rabbanan were simply not mesakein nisuin. So now the Gemara asks, but wait a second, v'ra katana da'asi l'chal nisuin v'tekin rabbanan nisuin, a katana also will one day be able to get married for real, and yet there is a concept of nisuin midrabbanan when it comes to a katana. If her father dies, and her mother and brother give her over for nisuin, that's a nisuin midrabbanan. So says the Gemara, hasam shelo yinagu b'minak hefker. Yeah, but they had to do that, because otherwise people would be knowing b'minak hefker, they would treat her as hefker, and there would be znus, it would be terrible, so that's why they had to be mesakein nisuin for a katana. So it comes out very interesting that normally we put cheresh and katan all in the same category. Cheresh always has nisuin midrabbanan, shota never has nisuin drabbanan, and by katan it depends whether it's a katan or a katana. A katan does not have nisuin midrabbanan, a katana does have nisuin midrabbanan. So you have both extremes, and you have like something in the middle in those categories. It's an easy way to remember it, maybe. So maishna katana de mimana, maishna chareshes de lo mimana. So it says Gemara, okay, now that you've told me that a chareshes can have nisuin midrabbanan, you've told me that a katana can have nisuin midrabbanan, why is it that a katana has a way out? That the katana could just be mimaenes? She could just say, I'm not interested in this man, and a chareshes can't. Why can't a chareshes do the same thing a katana can? So de'im kain, says Gemara, because if we would allow a chareshes to do miun, mimni evil onasvila, no one would ever want to marry her, because she could always be mima'in. She's always going to be a chareshes, and there's no way to escape the possibility of her miun, because for the rest of your life, or for the rest of the time that you're married with her, you're always going to be living with that thought in your head that maybe she's going to be mima'enes. So umayshna katana, whereas a katana, you don't have to worry about that, because a katana, yes, she could be mima'enes, but only until she becomes a gadola. So you're not going to refrain from marrying her, because you'll think, you know, I'll be able to convince her not to be mima'enes, at least until she becomes a gadola. I'll hold her off for long enough until we can get really married. So now the Gemara asks another chiluk between a katana and a chareshes as far as truma is concerned. So again, the first chiluk we discussed between a katana and a chareshes is miyun. Why is it that a katana is able to do miyun and a chareshes is not? So now a second chiluk between them, umayshna katana dachl b'truma, umayshna chareshes d'lo achl b'truma. Why is it that a katana is allowed to eat truma if she's married to a kohen, and a chareshes is not allowed to eat truma? How do I know that's true? true that a ketan is allowed to eat truma and a chareshes is not? Ditnan. The Gemara says, I'll prove it to you. We have a Mishnah Maseches Gittin that hey, Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgada ala chareshes sheisia eviha, that Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgada told us about a situation where a chareshes was married off by her father when she was a ketana. That's in Yisun Daraisa. Her father is the one that gave her over, not her mother, brother. Her father gave her over. So the father can give her over for Nisun Midaraisa. And now she's already a gedola, so the father can't receive her get for her. She yotza beget. She herself could be mekabel her get, and she can get divorced in that way. The al ketana bas Yisrael shenisei sekoin, and he was also made about a ketana who is a yisoma, who's a bas Yisrael that was married to a kohen by her mother, meaning a nisun midrabanan shalchelas betruma, that she is able to eat truma. So vil chareshes lo achla, and yet you see from the fact that it says that a katana is able to eat truma, it's muduyuk that a chareshes is not able to eat truma, because the gabi gerishin the Tana spoke about a chareshes, and as soon as it starts talking about truma, it only mentions katana, it doesn't mention a chareshes. So you see that the rights to eat truma is given only to a katana and not to a chareshes, and that is the Gemara's question. Why is a katana allowed to eat truma and a chareshes not allowed to eat truma? So answers the Gemara, the reason a chareshes who's married to a kohen is not allowed to eat truma is gzeirah shemayachil cheresh b'chareshes. If we allow a bardas who's married to a chareshes to feed her truma, we have to be choshesh that a cheresh who's married to a chareshes will also feed his wife truma. Says Gemara, so what? V'leichel, why is that a big deal? Why is that a problem? By chareshes, let her eat. The nisun is it should be like a chareshes is married to a pikeach, where the nisun is midrabanan. Why would we be gozer that when she's married to a pikeach, or to a case of when she's married to a cheresh? So the Gemara explains that by both of them, you're right. We should not ask her from eating truma because she's not a bas das, but katan ochel nevelosu, and it's a case of like a katan who just happens to be eating something that midaraisa they're not entitled to eat. Where the halacha is ein bezim mitzuvim lafrisho, it's not really our problem. We don't have to stop them from doing it. Why then is the din of a chareshes that she's not allowed to eat truma? Gzeirah shemiyachil cheresh bipikachas, because we're choshesh that if we allow a cheresh to be machil his chareshes wife truma, then you might have a cheresh who's machil his pikachas wife truma. Now, if every time a cheresh gets married, the marriage is only midrabanan, that means that his wife is not allowed to eat truma midaraisa. Look, if the wife is not a bardas, I don't care, because she's just a katan ochel nevelos, you don't have to do anything about it. But what if the wife is a pikachas, the wife is a basdas, then that will be a problem. So we never allow a chareshes to eat truma to a case of a cheresh feeding a chareshes, which itself is to a case of a cheresh feeding a pikachas truma. And the Ritva points out it's not a gzera l'gzera because kulacha de gzerahi, that we consider all of this to be part of the same gzera. So we don't consider that to be a gzera l'gzera. V'cheresh b'pikachas nami lechel b'truma d'rabanan. So says Gemara, but still, why can't a cheresh who's married to a pikachas give her truma midrabanan? The nisuin is chal midrabanan. So granted, you don't want to feed her truma midaraisa, but at least feed her truma midrabanan. So says Gemara, no, the reason that the chachamim, that the aser the pikachas for meaning truma d'rabanan is gzeira dilma asila ochel b'truma d'oraisa, because he might come to also feed her truma d'oraisa. And since the marriage is only a marriage midrabanan, she's certainly not allowed to eat truma min haTorah, so they don't even allow her to eat truma midrabanan, lest they come to eat truma min haTorah. Tosos points out, but by a katana, there was no reason to be gozer that she shouldn't eat truma, lest she come to eat truma d'oraisa, because she's going to one day become a gedola. So one day the marriage will be a full marriage, and she will be able to eat truma midaraisa. So for the period of time that she's still a katana, we didn't need to make such a gezeira. But that is the answer as far as why it is that a chareshes who's married to a kohen midrabanan, the whole marriage is midrabanan. Why is it that she's not allowed to eat truma? Because we're afraid that it's going to come to a point that a pikachas will also eat truma when she's only married midrabanan, and she's not even allowed to eat truma midrabanan unless she eat truma midaraisa. So now a third distinction between a chareshes and a katana. Again, so far we discussed why it is that a katana can do miyun and a chareshes cannot. We discussed why it is that a katana can eat her husband's truma and a chareshes cannot. And now the third distinction between them. Why is it that a katana has a ksuba ksuba, and a chareshes does not get a ksuba. The imkain mimni v'lo nasvila, says Gemara, because if they would be masakin ksuba for a chareshes, then people aren't going to want to marry the chareshes. But by a katana, then no one will refrain from marrying her, because eventually she'll become a gedola anyway. Uktana minolan di isla ksuba. How do I know that that's true, though? The assumption of the question is that we knew that a katana gets a ksuba. How do I know that's true, that a katana in fact gets a ksuba? The Mishnah tells us as follows. Hamima'enes, if you have a katana that's married off by her mother, and therefore she's only married midrabanan, so she does miyun on her husband. Va'shniya, or a woman who's asr midivrei sofrim, is asr midrabanan, she's a shniya la'arayos, like a grandmother or something. Va'ailunis, or a woman who's never able to have children, she's an ailunis. And at the time that they get married, that they got married, the husband thought that she would be able to have children. And then after they got married, it became clear that she's an ailunis. So the whole kiddushin was mekachtos. In all three of those cases, ein lahen ksuba. The reason it's ein lahen ksuba by mema'enes, since she's the one walking out of the marriage against the husband's will, we can't be mechayiv him to pay her a ksuba when she's the one that walked away from the marriage. When you marry a shniosla, it's a knas, that you're not going to get a ksuba for doing the aveira of marrying a shnius la'arayos. And by an islandist, because the whole thing was a mekachtol, so it's as if the marriage was never there. So says Gemara, what do you see from this mission? The reason a katana that doesn't get a ksuba if she's meme'enes is because she's the one that walked out of the marriage. Aval yotza beget, but let's say the husband gave her a get. So ukatana and a katana that whether it be a gedola that's yotza beget, or whether it be a katana that's yotze beget, yesh lo ksuba, she would get a ksuba. I mean, the only reason a meme'enes does not get a ksuba is not on account of the fact that she's a katana, it's on account of the fact that she's the one that walked away. But the implication is that a katana, in principle, is able to receive a ksuba, in principle, as long as the husband is the one that gave her a get. So now the Gemara explains how I know that a ksuba, that a chareshes does not get a ksuba. We explained how I know a katana does get a ksuba. How do I know that a chareshes does not? The chareshes minolan de less luxuba. Titania, we have a brisa. Cheresh v'shota shnasu pichos. Let's say you have a cheresh or a shota that marries a regular woman, so it's nisuin midrabanan. Aval bishin is pakeach a cheresh v'nishtaf a shota. Even if the cheresh or shota gets better after they get married, and now they want to get divorced, ein lahem aleim klum. They don't have to give a ksuba, because at the time that they got married, they were not b'nei das. So even though the chacham were misakin that they have the ability to get married, the chum were not misakin that they have to give a ksuba. Ratzu l'kayman, let's say after they became a bardas, they want to stay married, and then after they choose to stay married, they then at a later point choose to get divorced, then yesh lem ksuba. Then they do have to give their wives a ksuba, because when they made that initial choice, as soon as they got better and they became a bardas, to stay married, then the kiddushin is going to be chal. Now they're fully married on a d'oraisa level. So then it becomes like a regular marriage. So then if they get divorced subsequently, they're going to have to give a ksuba. Upikech shenos a chareshes or shota. If you have a pikech that marries a woman who's a chareshes or a shota, since he's a bardas and you could be mechayiv him in things, afilu kasav l'meya mana, even if he writes her 100 mana in the ksuba, ksubasa kayemes, he's chayiv in that because he was mechayiv himself. He wanted to cause such a major shibud on his nechasim, to be mechayiv himself such a major amount of money. So that's his problem, but that's going to be binding. So the Gemara says this idea of mipnei sharatza lizok b'nechasav taima deratza. The reason he has to pay ksuba is because he was mechayiv himself. But halo ratza, the implication is that if the husband was never mechayiv himself, Ainla, then the woman does not automatically get a ksuba. And the reason a chareshes does not automatically get a ksuba is because if she did, no one would want to marry her. So the Gemara is being medayik in the following, that normally ksuba is a tanai bezdin. You get married whether you're mechayiv yourself in ksuba, not mechayiv yourself in ksuba, you have to pay a ksuba. It's like automatic that you have to pay a ksuba, at least a minimal amount. A masayim for a basula, a man for an alman, it's a tanai bezdin. But so from the fact that it says that if a guy marries a chareshes, and he went out of his way to be mechayev himself, he'll have to pay. That implies that if he didn't go out of his way to be mechayev himself, he won't have to pay. That the standard is that a chareshes does not get a ksuba. So now we've proven both points. We've proven that a ketana does get a ksuba. We've proven that a chareshes does not get a ksuba. And we said, and the reason for that is that if chareshes were entitled to a ksuba, no one would marry her. So, Iyachi, if that were the case, that the Chum were not Masakin Uksuba for a Chareshes, and it was all for her benefit, so that people would want to marry her, Pikachas, the Chayrish is going to Uksuba. When a Pikachas gets married to a Chayrish, why don't we give her a Uksuba? And that will benefit the Chayrish. Because after all, he's also on the Shidduch market. He also wants to get married. So when you have a Chayrish, we should be Mechayiv the Chayrish in Uksuba, so that women will want to marry him. So, says the Gemara, and that will be for his benefit, so that he'll be able to get married. Says Gemara, he doesn't care so much about getting married. Yosem Isha Ish Rotzalisa Isha Rotzali Nase. Women want to get married much more so than men want to get married. Women tend to be more motivated to get married than ask any shachan. Women tend to be more motivated to get married than men are to get married, and therefore they had to be misaking whatever they could to help a chareshes get married, but they didn't have to be misakin whatever they could in order to help a cheresh get married. So the Braisa said they were never misakin a ksuba for in the case of a cheresh. So says the Gemara, one time Rav Malkiyo was mechayev a cheresh in a ksuba. Hahu cheresh tav b'shevusei to Rav Malkiyo. There was a cheresh that lived in Rav Malkiyo's neighborhood. Ansvei itza, Rav Malkiyo married him off. He found a shidduch for him, a regular girl. The kasav la arba meozuzei minichsei, and Rav Malkiyo was the apotropos of the cherish's properties. So he was mechayev. He was the what do they call it? The executor on the estate, or whatever you call it, the person who takes care of the finances. So he was mechayev 400 zuz from the nechasim of this cherish. So amarava man chakim k'Rav Malkiyo de gavarabahu. Who is a chacham like Rav Malkiyo that he did something so big that since he's such an adam gadol, he has the ability to be mechayev the cherish, and he did it because kasavri ilaratza shivcha l'shamsho milos avninale kol shkein hacha di ikatarti, because he figured this cherish is going to need someone to take care of him anyway, so it's going to cost his estate a lot of money anyway. I think you call it an estate when the guy's alive, whatever you call it, it's going to cost his bank account a lot of money anyway, so he might as well benefit from having a wife who he'll be able to benefit from a relationship with, plus she'll take care of the household and she'll run the household like a shivcha that he would have had to pay anyway. So that's why Rav Malkiyo came up with this idea of doing this for a cheresh, but it's not an automatic. Now the post can point out that from here that Dafka Beis Din is able to be mechayev him in a ksuba, and that's why he said that Rav Malkiyo is an adam gadol, so that's why he was able to be mechayev. In the Sefer Avnei Ha'efod and in the Tshuvos and Chelek Beis Siman Tazvav, he points out that the reason Beis Din is able to be mechayev a cheresh is not based on hefker based on hefker, because you know there's a major machlokas in Achronim. Whenever we say hefker based on hefker, what does that mean exactly? How literally do we take that phrase? Does hefker based on hefker mean that Beis Din has the ability simply to be mafkir things, but not beyond that? They don't have the ability to be makne to another person, or is hefker based on hefker so strong that they even have the ability to be makne to another person? Over here, if this were on account of hefker based on hefker, then it would be case closed. We would know the answer in that major machlokas in Achronim. It would be obvious that hefker based on hefker works to be makne. So therefore, says the Avnei Eifod, you see clearly that this is not based on hefker based on hefker. Because the Beis Din is being makne over here, it's because the Beis Din is avian shel yisomim and avian shel charashin, and therefore they're able to do as they please with the nechasim of the yisomim and the charashin, because they're considered to be those who take care of the Yisomim and the Charashim. So now the Gemara says, okay, what if a Cheresh gets married midrabanan? I'm sorry, when a Cheresh gets married midrabanan, how do we understand that? How do we understand the limitations of a Cheresh? Do we view it, not the limitations, how do we understand the marriage of a Cheresh? Do we understand it that it's a purely drabanan marriage, or do we understand it that it might be a Doraisa marriage? Samar Chibrash Yom Shmuel. Eishes Cheresh. If someone is Boel and Eishes Cheresh, B'shogig, let's say. So, Ein Chayev Nala Asham Talui. Someone accidentally, without realizing, was Boel and Eishes Cheresh. So, you don't have to be Choshesh that maybe you just violated Eishas Ish Min HaTorah. You're not Chayiv in Asham Talui, because she's not an Eishas Ish Min HaTorah. She's most certainly only married Midrabanan. Lema Mesayele says, well, I'll bring a raya to Shmuel from the Mishnah that talks about the dinim of Trumos and Maestros. The Mishnah in the very first Mishnah, Maseches Trumos, for those who are doing Mishnah Yomi, there's a good Daf Yomi, Mishnah Yomi coincidence, right? We're holding in Trumos now in Mishnah Yomi, not so far off from the first Perek. Chamisha lo yitromu vimtormu ein Trumas and Truma. That there are five people that are not supposed to, that can't give Truma, and if they do take Truma, then it's not, doesn't even count as Truma, and a non-Kohen is allowed to eat it. It doesn't have the status of Truma. Ve'elu ein, who are the five that do not have the ability, the capacity to affect Truma? Chere Shota v'katan. First, the Chere Shota v'katan, even if they take Truma with the Rishos of the owner and with the Shlichus of the owner, it's not Truma, because they're not B'nei Das. V'torim Hashem Shalom, and someone who's Torim, who has Das, but is Torim something that doesn't belong to him without the Rishos of the Bailim, because the Pasuk says, Kein Tarimu Gamatem. So we learn Gamatem, the Rabu Shluchachem. So the Chum Darshan, Ma Atem Ledaitchem Av Shluchachem Ledaitchem. That if you make, you can make a Shliach to be Mafrish Truma, but it has to be that it's the Shliach is working with your Das, with your approval. The Chayna Ovid Chavim Shetaram, Shal Yisrael. And if an Ovid Chavim is Torim Yisrael's Truma, those are the five people. Afilu Bershus Yisrael. Even if the Yisrael gave permission in that case, ain't Trumas and Truma. Because even though you're allowed to make a Shliach to be Mafrish Truma, an Ovid Chavim cannot be that Shliach. And that's the Gemara Darshan, because the Pasuk says, Kein Tarimu Gam Atem. So we Darshan, Ma Atem B'nei Bris, Av Shluchachem B'nei Bris. That just like you are a Ben Bris, you are a Jew, so to your Shliach to be Mafrish Truma has to also be a Jew. So in all these cases, the Truma is not going to be Chal, and it's not even a Suffolk. If it were a Suffolk, we would say Truma B'yachsor V'yitrum, right? We would say that it is Chal, but you have to take Truma again. But it's not a Suffolk, meaning even a Zara is allowed to eat it. So just like we said by a Cheresh, if he takes Truma, we said Vaday is Truma, is not a Truma, and a non-Kohen is allowed to eat it, so that's the same logic that Shmuel said, that if you accidentally are Boel in Eishas Cheresh, it's not a Suffolk. He's not able to have Kiddushin. She's not an Eishas Ish, Midoraisa. So you're not Chayiv in Asham Talui. So the Gemara says, nah, it's not such a good Raya, that the reason for Shmuel, that if you're Boel in Eishas Cheresh, that you're Patur from Asham Talui, it's not necessarily because we're so absolutely certain that she's not an Eishas Ish. No, Huda Amak Rabbi Elazar. It could be that Shmuel just holds like Rabbi Elazar, who says, Titania Rizgom Rishum Rabbi Elazar, Trumas Cheresh Lotetzi Lechulin, Mipnei Shu Safek. That maybe Shmuel doesn't agree with Rabbi, with Shmuel holds like Rabbi Elazar, that a Truma that's taken by a Cheresh is not allowed to be eaten by a Zar, because it is treated like a Safek. Maybe it really actually is Truma. So says Gemara, Isvir like Rabbi Elazar, Ashram Talinami Lechayev. Well, wait a second. If he's going to hold like Rabbi Elazar, that every time a Cheresh does something, we treat it as if he might be a Bardas, then why aren't you Chayev in Ashram Talui when you sleep with an Eishas Cheresh? So says Gemara, Be'inan Chaticha, Mishtei Chatichos. It's a technicality in the dinim of Ashram Talui. That Ashram Talui, you're only Chayev in Ashram Talui if you had a piece of Chaylev and a piece of Shuman in front of you. Chaylev is forbidden fat, Shuman is mutter fat. Right? So you have kosher meat and non-kosher meat in front of you. And you ate one of them, but you don't know which one you ate. So one of these Chatichos was kosher, one of them was not kosher, and you have no way of finding out which one you ate. That's when you're Chayev in Ashram Talui. When there were two possibilities in front of you, and you had one of them. But in a case where you just slept with a woman who's an Eishas Cheresh, now it's true, the Cheresh might be really married to her, because maybe he was a Bardas at that moment, and maybe it's really a marriage, and maybe he's really married to her, but there were no two women, that one of whom was an Eishas Cheresh and one of whom was not. The Suffolk is within that one woman, and that's a technicality in Ashram Talui that you're not Chayev. So just to clarify over here what's going on, what we're suggesting is that there's a suffix in terms of, we know that a cheresh can only get married midrabban. We know that a cheresh does not, on a daraisa level, is not married. We know that a cheresh does not have the capacity to be mafresh truma. But what the Gemara is discussing is that b'toras vaday or b'toras suffix? Are we absolutely certain that there's no marriage midaraisa? Are we absolutely certain that there's no truma, that when a cheresh takes truma, that it's not truma? Or is it b'toras suffix? That maybe it's a marriage. And maybe it's truma. So the Gemara tried to associate those two dinim with each other. That if you hold that if you sleep with an eshes cheresh, you're not chayiv nashim talui. It must be because it's a vaday that he's not married. And if that's the case, then by truma, it's a vaday that it's not truma. Says the Gemara, no, it could be that it's a vaday that it's not truma, but you're still not going to be chayiv nashim talui, because even though it's a vaday it could be that it's a suffix whether he's married or not, and you're still not going to be chayiv nashim talui. And the reason that you're not going to be chayiv nashim talui is because it's a technicality in nashim talui that you need chaticha mishtei chatichos. So says Gemara, mi bari Rabbi Lazar chaticha mishtei chatichos. But wait, if Shmuel holds like Rabbi Lazar, who holds that a truma scherish cannot be eaten by a zar, that we treat it like a suffix truma, so does Rabbi Lazar really hold that you need chaticha mishtei chatichos to be chayiv nashim talui? V'atanya, Rabbi Lazar amar koi, if you have an animal that's a suffix chaya, where the halach is the chaylev of a chaya is allowed to be eaten, and it's a suffix behema, and the chaylev of a behema is usher to eat, and you eat the chaylev of this animal, of this koi, chayiv nashim talui. Rabbi Lazar holds you chayiv nashim talui. That's not chaticha mishtei chatichos. You had fat of a koi and nothing else, and it itself is an inherent suffix, and he still says you chayiv nashim talui. It's not chaticha mishtei chatichos. Says Mara, okay, Shmuel sever kablazer b'chada, palgale b'chada. It could be that Shmuel holds like one sheet of Rabbi Lazar, but not like another sheet of Rabbi Lazar. Meaning, in Echanami, Rabbi Lazar told us that if a cheresh is mafresh truma, we have to be choshesh that it's really truma. Shmuel says, I agree to that. Rabbi Lazar also holds that in order to be chayiv nashim talui, you don't need chaticha mishtei chatichos. Shmuel says, I disagree with that. I think you need chaticha mishtei chatichos. And therefore, when you sleep with an eshes cheresh, you're not going to be chayiv nashim talui. The Ikad Amri, and some have a different version of this conversation, that Amar B'chir Barashi Amar Shmuel eshes cheresh chayavin alel asham talui. That Shmuel did not say that you're potter from nashim talui when you sleep with an eshes cheresh, but that you're in fact chayiv nashim talui when you sleep with an eshes cheresh. So the Gemara asks, Meisvei Chamishali Tromu, but didn't it say that one of the people that their truma doesn't count at all is a cheresh? So don't you see that Shmuel? So how can Shmuel hold that a cheresh is a suffik bardas? So it says the Gemara, Sava like Rabbi Lazar, he holds like Rabbi Lazar that the truma is also a suffik. That maybe Shmuel consistently holds that a cheresh is a suffik bardas, and therefore his wife is a suffik ish, and therefore his truma is a suffik truma, and maybe Shmuel is consistent in that way, that a cheresh is a suffik bardas, which leads to the following question. Boy Rav Ashi, my time with Rabbi Lazar, why is it that Rabbi Lazar holds that a cheresh is a suffik bardas? How does he understand that a cheresh is a suffik bardas? There are two ways to approach it. Either mifshat pshita le decheresh daita kalishtahu umi mesafkale idaita tzilusa ilav daita tzilusa uliolam chada daitahu. One possibility is that we know that a cheresh is limited, but we also know that he has some level of das. And maybe his suffix is whether that level of das is enough. Meaning we assume that a cheresh, morning, afternoon, and night, every day of his life, has a consistent level of das. He has a straight, consistent level of das. We're just not sure if it's above the line to qualify as a bardas or below the line not to qualify as a bardas. That's why Rabbi Lazar says that it's a suffix. Oh, Dilma, or maybe there's another possibility. Maybe he says, you know, when the guy is acting like a cheresh, it's pashut that he's a lav bardas. Now the reason why he's mesupak that a cheresh might be a bardas is that he might have moments, he might have lucid moments where he is a bardas. So it's not, he's not consistent. When he's acting like a cheresh, he's below the line. But when he's but sometimes he may be above the line. There may be moments where he's above the line, and we're not sure. Maybe at the moment that he was taking truma, he was a bardas. Maybe at the moment he was getting married, he was a bardas. Maybe that's what Rabbi Lazar is based on. So it says more the main nafkamina. What's nafkamina? Whether it's that he's consistent and we're just not sure whether his level is below or above the line, or whether it's that he's inconsistent and that's why we're not sure. So the hotzi ishto beget, whether he can get divorced. Yeah, but chadetai tohu, if you hold that he has one consistent level of das, ki kiddushin kach gerushin. Just like his kiddushin happens, so too his gerushin will happen. Meaning, if he's consistent in his level of das, we're just not sure if it's above the line or below the line, so we're choshesh Ish when he gets married, that his wife is an Eishes Ish, yeah, but then he can give her a get also, because if he was above the line, if his level of das is considered to be a bar das, then he's able to give a get. And if his level of das is not considered a bar das, they don't even need a get, they're not even married. So manavshach, he can give a get. But if you hold that he fluctuates, and sometimes he becomes a bar das, sometimes not a bar das, so then when he gets married, we have to be choshesh that maybe they're really married, maybe he was a bar das at that moment. But we cannot rely that when he gives a get, he's going to be a bar das. We don't know that he's going to be a bar das when he gives a get, and therefore he can't be magarish. So teku. So that's the unresolved question. Rabbi Lazar, who treats a cherish like a suffic bar das, we're misupak as far as how he views that suffic bar das of a cherish. Rabbi Yitzchak. So a new discussion. We said nishtatis in the Mishnah. You're not allowed. You can't be magarish a shota. So Rabbi Yitzchak, dvar Torah shota miskareshes. That on a darais level, really a shota woman can be miskareshes. Midadavah pikachas bal karcha. Because after all, the woman doesn't need das for gerushin. Gerushin can work even bal karcha. As we pointed out yesterday, it may not be the nice thing to do. It may be usher anyway. I pointed out from Rashefti yesterday that a lot of the Chayim Rabbeinu Gershom things are usher anyway. Someone pointed out to me they should clarify that not all the Chayim Rabbeinu Gershoms were usher anyway, right? Like marrying multiple women was not usher anyway, and the Chayim Rabbeinu Gershom made a Chayim in it. But many of the Chayim Rabbeinu Gershoms were usher anyway, like being Megarish Nisha Bal Karcha, that was probably usher anyway. Umatam Amreinu Megresha. So why is it that a Shota can't be Miskareshes if you don't need her Das anyway? Shalom, you know, Guba Minik Hefker, because we're afraid that if we leave her on her own, then people will treat her Minik Hefker, they're gonna take advantage of her. So Echidabi, what type of shota are we talking about where we say that the Gerishin would be Chal Minatora even though she's not a Bardatz? If she's enough of a bardas that she could hold on to a get and guard it, and she could watch herself, then no one will treat her like minik hefker. Well, minagi ba minik hefker. Why prevent her from getting divorced if she knows how to guard herself and protect herself? No one's going to be knowing minik hefker. El de'en yodas lishmor lo gita v'lo atzma. Now the case is that she. So the second possibility is she can't guard anything. She can't watch herself. She can't watch her get. She's an absolute shota. Well, then dvar Torah shota miskaresh. Well, then she shouldn't be able to get divorced even minatora, because in order to be able to get divorced minatora, she at least has to be able to protect her get. So the Gemara brings another makar that minatora, such a shota is not able to get divorced. If she's a total shota, she's not able to get divorced. That one of the conditions of being able of a woman being able to get divorced is that when you send her away, she knows not to come back. But if a woman is such a shota that you give her a get and she just keeps showing up the next day, so then she's not able to get divorced. So what's the case of a shota who mida oraisa can get divorced and mida rabbanon can't get divorced? So it must be a case of a woman who's able to protect the get, but is going to be unable to protect herself. So dvar Torah shota miskareshes, so yadas l'shmagita, she can get divorced because she could watch over her get and she won't lose it. But Rabban said no, that we're not going to allow such a divorce because we're afraid that people, she can't protect herself and people will be knowing about minik hefker. Amar Rabbi Dekanami, that the Mishnah is meduyek this way because it says the katani gabi dida nishtatis l'yotzi. When it talks about the woman, it says that you can't divorce her when she's a shota. The gabi didei, it says l'yotzi olamis. When it comes to a baal who became a shota, it says you can't be yotzi olamis. He can never get divorced. Well, ma'ishalach the katani olamis, ma'ishalachim lo katani olamis. Why by the female shota did it not say olamis, and by the male shota it said olamis? El shmamina hadaraisa hadarabanan. It must be because the male's inability to get divorced as a shota is a din midaraisa. The female's inability to get divorced as a shota is only a din midrabanan midaraisa. As long as she's able to be shomer eskita, she is in fact able to get divorced. And now that brings us to the next conversation. In the Mishnah we had said that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri had commented, why is it that an isha that Nischarsha can get divorced and Ish that's Nischarish is not able to get divorced? He said it must be because you don't need the das of the Isha to get divorced. So Ibayilu. So they weren't sure. Yochanan Menuri, Ish Pshitalei, the Isha Kami Bayilei, was he clear and thought it was obvious that the din of an Ish who's a Cherish is not able to get divorced, that was obvious and he was molded to the Chachamim, but he had had a shayla, he wasn't sure about an isha that's a chareshes. And the Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri is coming to be more machmir than the chachamim and saying that she's not able to get divorced. Odilma isha pshitale, or maybe it's the opposite. The idea that a chareshes is able to get divorced, he agreed to. That was a davar pashut, like the Chacham said. The ish kami bayle. What he was not sure about is if the man is a chareish. Why can't a man who's a chareish get divorced? Shalom midas. And according to that, he's trying to be even more makel, that even a man who's a chareish should be able to get divorced. So what was Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's angle when he was asking, why do we distinguish between a chareish and a chareishes? Was he trying to say that a chareish should be more like a chareishes? Or is he trying to say that a chareishes should be more like a chareish? Right? The Rabbanan had set the bar and they told us, chareish can't get divorced, chareishes can. Was Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri coming and saying, oh, I think that it makes sense that a chareish should also be able to get divorced? Or was he saying, no, I think a chareishes also should not be able to get divorced? So Tashmel will bring a raya. Mitakam relay from the fact that the Chacham said back to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, Eino doma isha megarish li isha miskaresh shishi yotzis l'ritzona v'shalo l'ritzona v'ish eino motzi elo l'ritzono shvamina ish kami bayilei. From the lashon that he uses, it sounds like his whole shayla was about the ish, and the isha was pashut. That's why it said, Eino doma ish to an isha, because ish was his point of contention. So says Mar Adraba, maybe it could bring you a raya the other way. From the fact that the Chacham says to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri that a pikachas that became a chareshes is yotze beget like a chareshes, so that sounds like shemamina isha kami bayilei, that the point of emphasis was about the isha, and that was the point of discussion, not about the ish. Ella Rabbi Yochanan Nuri the Devrayim Kamarlu. So in order to be Miyashiv the Mishnah, you have to say that Rabbi Yochanan holds Lahachmir, that even an Isha should not be able to be Niskarsha when she's a Chareshes. And the Chacham's answer is that a man can't be Megarish the answer of the Chacham why a man can't be Megarish was on Rabbi Yochanan Nuri's Shaila, that he asked them why a man can't be Megarish Shalomi Daito. He didn't ask because he holds that way. Adrabi, he holds that even an isha requires das, but rather Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri the Devrayim Kamarlu, where Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri was saying, he was saying lishitascha, according to you that a woman could be miskareshes without any das, which I think is crazy. I don't think anybody should be miskareish without any das, but according to you that a woman could be miskareish without any das, so I then wonder why can't a man be miskareish without any das? But lididi, according to my opinion, ki echid ish lo matzi miskareish. I hold that just like a man can't get divorced if he doesn't have das, ishanami lemigarsha. A woman also can't get divorced without any das. El liditchu, but according to you, that an isha that became a cherish is able to be megarish. Maishne isha, maishne ish. That's what he was asking about. Why should an isha be different than an ish? So amalei eno dome isha megarish li isha miskareshes. And that's where the Chacham answered back that you can't compare an isha megarish to an isha hamiskareshes. Just a bit further. I know I'm a little over time. Hey, Rabbi Yochanan. Then we said Rabbi Yochanan good God that was made about a chareshes whose father married her off, that she could be yotze beget. So amar Rav meidus Rabbi Yochanan good God from the fact that Rabbi Yochanan good God said that even by kiddushin kimurim you don't need the das of the isha for gerushin. So we learn Amar le'edim that if a person says to edim, not in front of the woman, Ru'u getze shani nosein, look at this get, I'm about to give this get to my wife. You see, it's a get, I'm going to give it to my wife. Va'amar la, and then he goes over to his wife and he says to her, Kinsi shtarchov ze. He doesn't let her know it's a get. He says, here, take this shtarchov. Harezim ugrashas. That's, she's divorced because you don't need her das. She doesn't have to know what's going on. So Milo Amar Rabbi Yochanan Gadda lo bin adaita, chanami lo bin adaita. After all, Rabbi Yochanan Gadda said, you don't need her das. You don't have her das here either. Says Mar Pshita. Well, obviously, that's the obvious extension of Rabbi Yochanan ben Gudgadla, that if you don't need her das, you don't need her das. So, of course, that works. So says Mar Nomad, the Tame Madamla Kinsi Sharchov Zebetuli Batle. I might have thought that when he said the words to her, here's your Sharchov, he was being Mevatel the get, Kamash Malon, east of the Batle, the Edom Abakamerlu. So that's why he's coming to tell me, no, he was not being Mevatel the get. If he really wanted to be Mevatel the get, he would have told the Edom that he's being Mevatel the get. Umidomer le Edom lo batav lo midi. From the fact that he didn't say it to the Edom, you see that he wasn't being Mevatel anything. Vaid de Kamerachi, and the reason he told his wife, Kinsi Shtarchov Zeh, Macham Skisufu de Kamerlu, he was just trying to avoid a confrontation. It would have been difficult if he would tell her, here's your get. So he just told her, Kinsi Shtar Chov Zeh, but he was still trying to make sure that the get would in fact would in fact be effective. Okay, we will stop there. And Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with Rav Yitzchak Bar Bisna. Same time, Be'ez Hashem. Have a wonderful evening, everyone.
You as well, Yashik Echacho.
Thank you.